Philippa, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Now, my first question is, what is inclusive design in relation to people with disabilities and their sexuality?
Well, look, we'll talk about inclusive design first. Inclusive design is it's a general approach, really, to designing where designers ensure that any products or services that they're developing or designing address the needs of the widest possible audience. It acknowledges diversity and difference. And it's really about mainstreaming good design, not specialised disability solutions. So when we're talking about inclusive design and people with disability and their sexuality, some of the elements of inclusive design that kind of come into this conversation are so including people with disability in the conversation, because all too often that doesn't happen, actively listening and acknowledging the barriers that people face in expressing their sexuality, and also ensuring too that any decision-making teams, whether it's throughout the design process, are diverse and that people are properly paid for their contribution, regardless of whether it's around research or decisions around design of products or organisational change.
Yeah, and you just mentioned ensuring that people with disabilities are included in conversations about their sexuality. How exactly does inclusive design do that?
Well, exactly that. It's an approach. It's a very generic approach. It's around, first of all, so the first thing we've done in the work that Northcote Innovations have been doing is about setting up conversations, because all too often people with disability are simply not included in the conversation when it comes to sex. So it's around talking to people and understanding how do they want to express their sexuality? What are the barriers that are stopping them from doing that? And what role might design play in breaking down those barriers?
Yeah, absolutely. Because from what I've seen, like not only in media, but also with friends of mine who do have a disability, they're either completely omitted from the conversation just due to not having a voice there, or they're just seen as completely asexual for no actual reason.
Exactly.
So Judith Glover, an industrial design lecturer at RMIT, is investigating the design of customized inclusive sex toys. Would you be able to tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, she's doing some great work. So she, as you mentioned, is down at RMIT, and she's worked extensively in the area of sexual health and product design. So she set up what's called the DASHI website, which is Design and Sexual Health Innovation. She started looking at sexual health and gender relationship reinvigoration, porn addiction, all kinds of product kind of had the ways that product design can relate to sexual health. But she's just about to start a new project, which is a sex and disability research project with some clients from Canada. And they're working on a new sex toy product range with a multidisciplinary team of occupational therapists, industrial designers, engineers, and electronic engineers. And, of course, people with disability are included in that design process. It's a co-design project.
Yeah, that's awesome. And how can technologies like social media assist in supporting people with disability and inclusive design?
Well, I think that social media in particular can support by enabling people with disability to meet other people, to connect, to communicate more broadly, to share their views, and to find like-minded people online. It can really, I think social media can support participation and communication. And look, everyone is different though. Everyone uses technology differently. It works for some people and not others. I mean, Deakin University, for example, is doing some really important work around supporting people with intellectual disability to navigate respectful relationships around their sexuality. And I know that they've done some work supporting people with intellectual disability to use Facebook. But here at UTS, there's Lisa Brunner is doing a PhD in another area of social media, which is Twitter, and not related necessarily to sexuality, but more about communication. And she's looking at how it works really well for people with acquired brain injury as a communication tool, because you've only got a certain number of characters. There's less pressure for those who have trouble or are nervous about saying very much. And it also helps people who say a lot to try and say what they mean in fewer words. So it's, we're really only starting to understand how social media can support different groups of people in the community to connect and communicate.
And throwing a bit of a spanner into the works here, I've seen a few places, a few people say that sex robots could possibly be a solution for disabled people with disabilities. What do you think about that? And do you think there are any, I guess, ethical risks involved in that?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, firstly, really very little research has been done in the area. It's quite possible that sex robots could be able to be used as a form of assistive technology. People could, you know, explore ways of experiencing pleasure or their own preferences or body capabilities. But the claims that have been made about how sex robots will minimise loneliness for vulnerable people in the community, and that's, I mean, I think that in that people have been talking about people with disability and also older people. For me, that's where alarm bells really start ringing. For me, viewing sex robots as a solution to loneliness for anyone, but particularly people with disability, it's you know, or using it as a remedy for a lack of available dates, I think it risks perpetuating the social and sexual exclusion of people with disability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, actually, I think I did an interview. Or at least wrote an interview about this not too long ago, kind of related about AI in general and that being, I guess, related to aged care and disability care and kind of like the ethical issue of like programming artificial intelligence to have a human response can be somewhat misleading. And there are like huge ethical issues there. And I feel like it could be a similar situation saying sex robots are a solution for disabled people.
Exactly.
So what does the future of inclusive design for sexual health look like, do you think?
Oh, well, look, I think as much as I am, you know, my world is built around, I'm studying technology all the time. I feel really strongly that technology can't replace human connection. So it's critical that any new technology support greater inclusion for people, and that includes, of course, people living with a disability. Ultimately, well, it's a human right to be able to safely express and enjoy your sexuality and to live a life that you choose with pleasure. So I believe that inclusive design will play a critical role, really, in ensuring that, you know, when, well, the people with disability are included and that they're heard. And that they'll have their barriers acknowledged and addressed in the future through good design.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Philippa. It's been really great to talk to you about this.
It's an absolute pleasure, Ruby. Thanks so much for having me.